I do think there's something to your appearances, and I have been catching a little bit about your commentary about General Michael Hayden and his, what seems like, I mean, everybody's reporting this as a shoo-in for the nomination to head the CIA. What about this bothers you? And it's not because he's a general, which is what some people are kind of spooked about.
No, it doesn't bother me at all that he's a general. What does bother me is that he has presided over the greatest domestic spying experience in American history. I mean, we fought a Cold War against Eastern Europe and the old Soviet Union in large measure because of the way the government treated its people. And one of the things we objected to was a lack of privacy. You know, in this country we have the Fourth Amendment, which has the unique American value of placing a judge between the government and its domestic target. No matter how guilty is the domestic target, no matter how widespread is the perception of the guilt of the domestic target, no matter how accurate is the perception of the guilt of the domestic target, the government can't go after anyone it wants in this country using any means it wants. It has to go through a judge first, and that's what's kept us from becoming like Nazi Germany or the old Soviet Union. When Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence and Madison wrote the Constitution, they had lived through an era in which British soldiers were allowed to write their own search warrants, and there was no restraint on what the British soldiers could do to the American colonists. In order to assure that this would never happen to us, they put in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, which says that if the government wants to seize something of yours, whether it's a tangible thing or even a conversation, it's got to get the permission of a judge first. And if the judge agrees that it is more likely than not that what it wants to seize is evidence of a crime, the judge will authorize a search warrant. If the judge disagrees, then the government can't seize what it wants. General Hayden has presided over the surveillance of millions of phone calls of innocent Americans without going to a judge, without a search warrant, without a showing of probable cause. It's a massive violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's a massive violation of the anti-wiretapping statutes, which were written in 1974 to prevent this very thing from happening. He shouldn't be rewarded by being made our spy-in-chief.
Okay, but and help me out here, because I'm the dumbest guy I know. But
I doubt it.
Seems to me that General Hayden couldn't do this at the end of a barrel of a gun. He couldn't do it just because he felt like it. That there are people much higher up the food chain who, with either a wink and a nudge or with a memo somewhere, said to him, hey, you go do this, and so he's just following orders. So the idea of punishing him, and I'm not advocating for him to be the CIA director, but it seems to me that he would be the fall guy for that, not the person who was really responsible for the program.
Very interesting observation, Ian. The person responsible for the program is the President of the United States. The statute says, whoever shall authorize or install a wiretap without a warrant on a domestic telephone call shall be guilty of a felony punishable by up to 5 years in jail for each phone call wiretapped. That means whoever authorizes it, whether it's President Bush or General Hayden, or whoever installs it, whether it's General Hayden or someone who works for him, they're obligated to know the law, and they're obligated to obey the law. Why? Because they took an oath to obey the Constitution and to obey the law, and they flagrantly violated it. Look, you can justify doing almost anything in the name of national security. When Richard Nixon claimed that he could engage in warrantless wiretaps in the name of national security, the Supreme Court, four of whose members he had just appointed, rejected that argument by 9-0. And the Congress wrote a statute to prevent him and future presidents from doing it. This president has violated that statute, and General Hayden has violated that statute, and it's not an excuse for either of them that they think it's going to enhance national security.
No, I totally get that. But in the case of General Hayden, if the White House, and since you've put that on the table, the White House comes to him, the Attorney General comes to him and says, no, this is legal, you go with it. And he, not being a constitutional lawyer of his own, says, okay, being a good general, following orders of his commander-in-chief, commander-in-chief says, you have to go do this, then we go back to the person that told him it was okay, that assured him, that gave him the, you know, that said, no, this is within your legal purview to do this. And so he goes down that road. But the person that actually then did the investigation on this, the legal side of it, then is the president or the president's people on this. And so that's really where the blame should go. I mean, if we're talking about the commission of a felony, should we really be talking about that?
Remember, the statute makes whoever installs or authorizes a felon. So General Hayden, as well as the technicians that work for him, have the same obligation to know the law and to obey it as does the President of the United States. Now, in fairness to General Hayden, it has been reported that he challenged whether or not this was lawful at the time the president asked him to do it. He since has been persuaded in his own mind that it was lawful because of advice given to the president by then White House legal counsel and now Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. General Gonzalez has been giving the White House bad legal advice almost since day one. It was he who told the president, take the bad guys to Guantanamo Bay. It's Cuba. The laws don't apply, the Constitution doesn't apply, the federal courts won't bother you, you can torture, you don't have to give them trials, you can do whatever you want. The Supreme Court, of course, rejected that argument by 8-1. I suspect the Supreme Court will invalidate any evidence gathered as a result of these illegal wiretaps because the violation of the law is so clear, so obvious. It's hard to believe that the president can do it with a straight face.
Well, in a way, that fits the pattern of this White House's opinion in that they always, it seems to me, that they think that in the end, if they get something that's really incriminating or something really bad, it'll justify how they got that information. And then they lean on the fact that it was really bad information. Gosh, aren't we glad we have it, instead of the process of how we got there. And you're insisting on a purer process. But...
Well, I'm insisting on a pure process because the history of human freedom is paying careful attention to procedure. And this White House has been among the most lawless in modern times. Look, you can take the Cato Study, which is a conservative libertarian think tank, or you can take the Boston Globe Study, which is a liberal Democrat newspaper. Both concluded that this president has either personally violated, authorized the violation of, or refused to enforce over 750 federal statutes. Now, he has taken an oath to uphold the law. That's all the law, not just the laws that he finds convenient for the times or for his political message. He doesn't have a choice as to what laws he's going to uphold, but yet he has violated the ones he disagrees with and has ignored the ones he doesn't like. Well, that's not what we elected him for.